Welcome back, everybody. And always want to have you guys check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. And where else, Donald?
Also on Facebook, Valley Outdoors.
Yep.
On Facebook.
Lots pretty of stuff going on there. Yep. Everywhere. And it's fun. And lots of stuff going on all over the country. And a man that has been, his ear has been burning up, his phone has been burning up. And I really appreciate Jason taking the time. You're obviously busy and got the kids today unexpectedly, and that's okay with us. So if you hear kids in the background, they're part of the gig, and that's what that's
what
part of the
do.
Part it's of the way live. That works. But Jason Fisher from the LEWT, the Lake Erie Walleye Tour Tournament Director. If you've been under a rock this last 3 weeks, you may not have heard about it. I don't think even if you're under a rock, you couldn't have not heard about it. But there was some a tournament that went on in Lake Erie, and there was some suspicious activity that went on, and it was proven that there was a couple gentlemen, I shouldn't say that, a couple people, guys that were found to be cheating. And if you've seen the memes everywhere, you know what I'm talking about. So bringing in Jason Fisher. Jason, leading off, I will just say this. I'm proud of what you did. You handled yourself tremendously well. You kept everything under control, and if that happens, that's the way it should be dealt with, and I really appreciate what you did, and I'm glad to have you come on here more than you can imagine, so thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. You know, not a very good situation, just something spur of the moment, and you just try to deal with it as it comes.
Yeah, no question. You know, one of those things that everybody was – a couple main questions that people were looking at it because it a lot of people thought it had been going on for quite some time. Is that what you had been hearing, kind of the little buzz going on? Is that what kind of the rumor was going on, that there's something funky?
You know, anytime guys have success, you know, there's always questions because nobody's on these boats except for the people that are fishing. So, you know, there's always the ups and downs of people who say, you know, what's going on here, and is everything on the up and up? And quite frankly, there's guys that have been on hot streaks, you know, so you just can't always jump to the negative with things, and you try to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
And that's what, you know, a lot of people did here, you know.
Well, and I think we lay it out, let's lay out the format. The LEWT, in this particular case, it's normally a two-day format. And in this particular event, because of the weather that Lake Erie obviously stirs up a little bit when the wind blows, she doesn't like people to be out there boating, you had to move it to a one-day event. And it's the five best fish that you can possibly bring in. And that's the way it would be in a two-day total. Normally it'd be 2 days of the best five fish you can bring to the scale. And at this time of year, they're pretty much cookie-cutter type fish. Would you agree with that? I mean, for the most part, there's no... you're not getting the giant 12-pounders that you would normally be getting at if you're looking in spring. So
you'll see them occasionally, and those are just the dinosaurs of the lake that have been around forever. But the Lake Erie is just full of, you know, those cookie cutter 5-pounders, and that's just, you can get out there and basically find as many fish as you want to find. It's just that, you know, they're all going to be the same size. You know, so those guys that are able to find the 6, 7, and 8 pounders, you know, that's who wins the events usually.
Exactly. And of course, that being the way that the tournament, and then of course, in this particular case, being it's a tour, you have multiple events. And in this case, these guys were at the top of the heap when it comes to Angler of the Year, which is another award, as well as, you know, it's up for grabs to see what was going to happen. And of course, at that point, you come down to the last guys and whoever's going to be weighing last, usually, and you're as good as anybody I've seen at creating that excitement at the end of that event. You know who's going to be coming in with some serious weight. What are you going to do? You're going to hold those guys till the last because you want to create that excitement. And in the Angler of the Year situation, it really held true. You know, how did you know? When did you know something was funky going on? That was one of my questions. When did it occur to you that there's something funky?
Well, essentially when they put the big fish up on the scale. We do big fish first. And when I'm looking at fish entering the basket and I'm seeing four or five pound fish, I'm expecting a 20-ish pound bag. And when you put the first one up on the scale and I'm seeing 7, 9, 0, I'm just immediately thinking, now it's just not right. And then when you put five of those same fish up on the scale and it's almost the 7 pound average, you know, right about 34 pounds, you need 35 pounds to have a 7 pound average. And they're just not 7 pound fish. So
yep.
I wanted to take a look at them. And when I did, that's kind of, you know, when all the, you know, everything went bad.
Well, and I think it's, I could tell there was, some pent up anger, possibly. You know, I mean, you get excited about that situation because, you know what, all right, this is it. We've now, and you talked to some people, told them to hang around, don't go anywhere. And so it's difficult, I know, in your situation. What were you thinking when you're going through that, when you thought this is funky? What was your thought?
Well, my thoughts are, you know, I'm going to have to do something here just for the sake of, you know, you hear the guys talking, hey, you know, they're grumbling in this, no way. But I mean, I have to do something, you know, for the integrity of the event, I got to do something. I have to look at these fish, inspect them, see what's going on here, weigh them again. Maybe my weigh guy didn't, you know, tear out the basket, something, you know, it didn't add up. So, you know, I wanted to look at the fish and see what was going on. And I ultimately just said, hey, I want to take a look at these things and put my hands on them. And I felt something, you know, something hard. And that's just not, you know, our walleye aren't eating turtles and stuff like that. So,
no, they don't like to eat that at all. So you did feel the weight in the belly. I know that's one of my my friends, Sean. He was asking about that. He said, did you feel anything? And when it comes down to it and you do that, you were probably caught in a mix of emotions at that point, I suspect, right?
Yeah. I mean, I immediately knew something was wrong, and I knew I was going to find something. And, you know, that's why I said, get me a knife. And I cut the fish open and immediately knew that there was some problems. And right then and there, you know, the frustration comes out. I mean, I've defended these guys to my buddies, you know, good friends of mine.
Yep.
I'm just like, get off their back. The last event that they won, we had some camera crews running. And they actually, you know, they wouldn't let me pull the camera guy off their boat. And they said, no, he's staying. They won the event, and as soon as I was done doing what I was doing, I was the first one to call them. As soon as I got freed up with cleaning up and
yep.
everything like that, I was the first one to call them, you know. And, I mean, I work on these guys' boats, you know, go to their houses if they need things. Not just these guys, but all these guys, you know. I'm very much part of these guys' is, you know, I don't want to say life, but, like, I'm very much a part of fishing. You know, anytime somebody needs help, I'm trying to do it. And I was just disgusted. Like, I've put my neck out on there, you know, for these guys over and over again and defended them over and over again. And I was disgusted.
Yep. Well, and I know it's difficult when you believe in somebody and then it turns out to be true what others have said, and then it becomes real difficult. And I appreciate what you did because it's a difficult thing. I know there's a lot of people out there that were wondering about that. Now the next question comes into play, and let's turn this around and let's move past this. I know that today they were charged. We'll talk about that later after, you know, in another segment, but, they did get charges put against them today. And, it's one of those things, but let's move forward. When you, as a tournament director, look at this, what direction would you look at and say, this isn't happening anymore, and these are kind of the things that we're going to look to do? What would you say would be some of those things that you're considering right now?
Well, the first thing we're going to do is I'm probably going to hold the top five. And as guys, I'm going to basically put five spaces aside, and as guys weigh in their bags, you know, come up to the scales, and if they get bumped, then they can go hang out in the crowd. But I'll just have people hang out, or at least just put their fish there. Their fish bag can hang out until they get bumped. And, you know, the top five, we'll just take a look at them. We've also got metal detectors. We already ordered four of them for our next event that's here. And we've detected lead and tungsten and, you know, the brass and, you know, all the stuff that these fishing lures and sinkers and components are made out of. And we'll check the bags with those. And we'll continue to do, you know, polygraph testing at the end. I mean, ultimately, 99.9% of these guys are they're just doing it to have fun. They're doing it to compete against their boys.
Yep.
And this is not like a rampant problem, but I mean, we'll still do the safeguards because, you know, it's money and it's their guys' money at stake. And we got to keep, you know, the integrity of the circuit for that. But, you know, for the guys that are like, oh, do it like bass, you know, keep all the fish alive, put referees on the boats. I mean, you can't even do that.
No.
It's like a regional tournament. You know, we've had 130 boats at one event this year. I can't get volunteers to go ride on all these boats.
No, much less who'd want to.
Yeah, I mean, these anglers, they'll drive 50, 60 miles across the lake in three footers, and it's like, put somebody on their boat that gets seasick, then next thing you know, I'm getting, you know, crucified because I put some guy on their boat and they got to take him in because he's seasick and it ruined their tournament day.
Yep. No, it's exactly right. Or somebody physically can't make it back or make it out in the rough water. Say, I can't do that, you know, and they get hurt because there's not in an official seat position. So, you know, and again, I think the big thing is you hit it on the head. These guys are out there for fun. On the professional side, you have somebody else in the boat that's not part of the team. And normally those guys are the ones that are going to say something. In a team format, I think, you know, having those safeguards out there is exactly what needs to happen. And I think based on what we talked about off air, the numbers that you're getting for the events coming up are growing and they're big numbers. You're getting people coming out. I think it shows the confidence in what you've done and the confidence in who you are as a tournament director that really brings that forward. And I think that's the positive we take away from this. We turn it into this and we say, look, this is not by any means the end of tournament fishing. This is only the beginning. And I think what it does is it really brings people to the forefront where they thought there's panky-panky going on. And I think now there's virtually going to be no way that you can do that with the given safeguards you're putting into place. So I think that's awesome and appreciate that, Jason. So I know you've got a harem back inside. The kids are they got the three-ring circus rolling.
Well, at one point, they hit the microphone going, and they're talking. It's like a karaoke microphone machine. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Life is good, isn't it?
Well, you know, the life of a DJ. There you go. Yeah. Spin some records and make them happy, buddy. Jason,
I'm good.
Thank you. When we get together, I'll buy you a cold one. I really do appreciate it with what you got going on back there.
All right, thanks.
Thanks,
guys.
Buddy. Appreciate it. And we'll be back with more Valley Outdoors right after this.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference.
Well, Don, it's a sad deal and feel for Jason. And
You know, it's one of those things that's heartbreaking, actually, because, you know, like he said, he's friends with so many of these guys in the tournament. I don't know how many teams were in that particular tournament, but
there's 100,
probably 100 plus. So, you know, and he probably knows every one of them. And yeah.
On the tour, they do. They get to know you very, very well. Just wanted to wrap this up before we forget, but just to let everybody know, the charges were filed, they were indicted, and they were as follows. The grand jury returned an indictment against Runyon and Kaminsky on 4 separate charges. Cheating was a felony in the 5th degree. Attempted grand theft, 5th degree felony. Possessing criminal tools, 5th degree felony. And unlawful ownership of wild animals, which is a misdemeanor in the 4th degree. According to the prosecutor's office, convictions, felonies in the 5th degree are punishable by up to 12 months in prison and $2,500 in fines. Misdemeanor in 4th degree is up to 30 days in jail and up to $250 fine upon conviction. They said that it's unlawful of ownership of wild animal charge pertaining to possession of fish fillet on their boat. You can't fillet a fish and have it on your boat. It cannot be, you cannot do that. And that was could result in indefinite suspension of their fishing licenses. And in the affidavit, they found 5 fish had 8 12-ounce lead weights and 2 8-ounce lead weights in them. And there was a previous event that very close friends of mine took second place to these guys. And they were not able to, they were submitted some investigation was completed, and they turned it over to the prosecutor. They declined to file charges as there was not enough evidence in that particular event to charge them. So there was definitely something that was going on in that event, but they didn't have enough evidence to make that happen and stick. You know, Don, it's when you fish as many years as I did on the tour, it's frustrating because you worry about doing anything incorrectly that would be perceived as
not
judgment is inappropriate. Yeah. And to see this go on was appalling, but we're moving forward. They're doing the right things to make it happen and doing the right things to give people confidence in the fact that they're taking care of this issue and then won't happen again.
Yeah, well, you have to learn from something like this and move forward and make adjustments so that it never happens again.
Yep. Jason Fisher, kudos to you, my friend. And very impressed with the job he did and was able to make this happen. And nobody got hurt. And moving along in the right direction. So tournament fishing is going to be better because of it. So tell you what, thank you guys for joining us. That's a wrap. We are the Valley Outdoors. For Don Cleaver, myself, Eric Olson, and Sean, the man behind the board, we are out of here. Till next week, see ya.